يا نبي سلام عليك، يا رسول سلام عليك، يا نبي سلام عليك، يا رسول سلام عليك.
الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا، واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها، كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون.
وبه نستعين، وصل اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt that it's due to His kindness and generosity that He provides for us opportunities such as these, where we gather in remembrance of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is an honor for me to have an opportunity to speak about the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest man who has ever set foot upon this earth, the one who has been lovingly called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as His Habib. Somebody who has reached that status, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought so close to Him that nobody else has come so close. This is a very daunting task, because the elevation of the Prophet is such, the maqam, the status of the Prophet is such, the rank of the Prophet is such, that I as a human being, by speaking about Him, will automatically do injustice to Him. And so we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that ability to describe this human being the way he is worthy of being described. That being said, you know, I was asked to speak, no time limit was given, yeah, no topic was given, so fasten your seatbelts, inshallah, it will be a nice ride. Yeah, there are four speakers as well, so I hope they have snacks in between, inshallah. What can we say about him? Yeah, so I want to tackle, or I want to look at the Prophet from an angle of what we need from him, how we as an ummah today, how we as Muslims today can take the Prophet and have him as the center of our attention, where we can imitate him, where we can mimic him, so that we can become that ummah that he envisioned, that he came to guide. Yeah. To do so, let us start back from when he came. Yeah? When he was sent as a prophet, what was the condition of that ummah at that time? And this is very beautifully described by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in one of his sermons in Nahj al-Balagha, in sermon number 2. He describes the ummah, or not the ummah, the people in Arabia at that time in a very beautiful manner. He says, وَالنَّاسُ فِي فِتَنِي إِنْ جَذَمَ فِيهَا حَبْلُ الدِّينِ. At the time, people had fallen in vices whereby the rope of religion had been broken. وَتَزَعْزَعَتْ سَوَارِيَ الْيَقِينِ. And the pillars of belief had been shaken. واختلف النجر وتشتت الامر وضاق المخرج وعمي المصدر. And he says the principles of life had been sacrileged, systems had become topsy-turvy, openings were narrow, passages were dark. فالهدى خامل والعمى شامل. Yeah. And he says that guidance was unknown and darkness had prevailed over the people at that time. It was in this situation when we can say that civilization was in this one of its darkest moments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the most opportune time sent the best of his creation to bring the people out of darkness and into light. Yeah. And this is something that is an honor for us to be amongst his followers. Now the reason for mentioning the situation of the ummah or of the community or the people at that time is because when I look at our time today, yeah, when I look at our condition today as an ummah, yeah, because now we are supposed to be following his guidance, I see us as having reverted back to the time of Jahiliyyah. Yeah. Systems have become topsy-turvy. Yeah. The deen has become shaken, yaqeen of people has become wavered. All of these things, unfortunately, is our condition today. We look at us today as a Muslim ummah. Yeah? If we had held on to what the Prophet had been, we would not have been a laughing stock today. Today, unfortunately, we have reached that stage as an ummah where we are to blame and we get no recognition. We are to blame and we get no acknowledgement for what Islam has done for the entire world, not just Muslims, right? And if that's the case, if you agree with me, and this is what I believe, yeah, that we have reverted back to the time of Jahiliyyah, if that is the case, my brothers and sisters, we are more Jahil than the people of Juhala. Yeah? We are more ignorant than the people who lived at the time of ignorance. Why? Because guidance has already come, we have rejected it. Yeah? The light has already been shined, we have covered it. That which the Prophet had taught us, we have ignored it. And we have reverted back to a time even worse than when Islam was first brought forth. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nazira. وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. Look at the titles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented the Prophet with. This is why I say that what I describe the Prophet with has no merits, because God has already described him with the best of merits. Yeah? And if God is the one describing, then who am I to describe? He says that he sent the Prophet. He says, O Prophet, indeed we have sent you as a witness, as a bearer of good news, and as a warner, and as an inviter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His permission, and a radiant lamp. Yeah? My brothers and sisters, let's take a look at our condition today. The warner has come. The one who gives us good tidings has come. The radiant lamp has come. How come we have reverted back to darkness? Yeah? How come we have come back to a stage where there is no more honor, yeah? That honor that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him and his family, had brought. What happened to that, right? When you look at our condition today as an ummah, the Prophet had created an establishment, had created a system where the weak and the minority were looked after and protected, hadn't he, in Medina, yeah? It didn't matter what religion you are in Medina. Yeah? If you are under the Prophet's care, he would look after you. Right? Look at how today those so-called Muslim countries treat the minorities in that country. Yeah? You look at countries like Pakistan. You look at countries like Afghanistan. You look at countries like Iraq. You look at countries like Nigeria, where 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, 2,000 innocent people were killed. Nobody spoke anything. Yeah? Why? Because of some cartoons. Yeah? The cartoons had taken over the news and nobody was talking about 2,000 innocent people. These are supposed to be Muslims. Muslims should be looking after Muslims, especially if they claim to be following the deen of Rasulullah. Yeah? You look at the Prophet came and established a system where women were given rights. You look at our so-called Muslim countries, where women are prevented from education. Women are prevented from driving. What does driving have to do with Islam? What does that have to do with anything in the long run? And these people claim to be the caretakers of Islam, the two greatest mosques. They claim to be the caretakers. Yet there's nothing about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their country. There's nothing about the Prophet in that religion, in their system. You look at the Prophet, he came and created a system of tolerance. Where people with different beliefs were still catered for. People who had different opinions were still respected. Today in countries like Syria, in countries like Afghanistan, if your beard is not long enough, you get flogged. If your dishdasha is too long, you get flogged. Where have we gone? Where have we fallen into error? And the reason, my brothers and sisters, I mention all of these things is because we have failed to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. These are systems that we've talked about. Let's not forget our own personal conduct. The lewdness with which we live our lives, the promiscuity that exists within the Muslim ummah, the spousal abuse which exists in the Muslim ummah, drugs and alcohol, all of these things which are affecting us as Muslims, when we ask ourselves why has all of that happened, the only answer that I can come to is that we have failed to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet. If we want to be successful as a Muslim ummah, if we want to be a united Muslim ummah, we have to follow the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. We have to follow the akhlaq of Rasulullah. We have to follow the morality of Rasulullah. We have to follow the kindness of Rasulullah. We have to have his mercy, his compassion. We are, after all, Muhammadi. It doesn't matter if we are Maliki, Shafi'i, Hanbali, at the end of the day, each and every one of us in this room is Muhammadi. And therefore we have to have the akhlaq of Rasulullah. And this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it? That whatever the Prophet has done, take. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. He says that take whatever the apostle gives you. That means whatever the Prophet has done, take from him an example. Why? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that for you in the apostle of Allah is the best of exemplars. Meaning whatever the Prophet does, do. However the Prophet acts, act. Whatever the Prophet does not do, don't do. Do not overstep the boundaries that have been created by this great personality, by this great man. So how do we then become like the Prophet? This is all we have to do. It's very simple. We have to be like this man. Because this man is the living Quran. This man is the best exemplar, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. I want to end with just one hadith. There are many great speakers that I'm looking forward to listening to today. If we want to return back to light, if we want to return back to guidance, if we want to be that ummah that was brought out of complete jahiliyyah and had entered into complete nur and ilm, we have to, my brothers and sisters, follow and be like this great personality. And there's a very lovely hadith that is narrated by our sixth imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Where he says, Qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ali. So the Prophet, he says that I've heard that our fathers have narrated that the Prophet has said this. Ala ukhbirukum. So he was speaking to the Prophet was speaking to a group of companions. He says to them, Ala ukhbirukum bi ashbahikum bi. He says, should I inform you of the one who is most similar to me? Allah, he's giving us a blueprint. He's telling us, do you want to be like me? They replied, of course, who would not want to be like the Prophet? He says, should I tell you who is the most similar to me? Yeah? And they replied back and they said, Bala ya Rasulullah, of course, please tell us, O Prophet of God, who is the most similar to you? And he lists 8 qualities. Yeah? 8 qualities that we as a Muslim ummah, yeah, were to embrace and were to follow, there would be no one who would hold a finger against us. Yeah? There would be no one who would dare stand against us. Yeah? If we can have this quality, these qualities of the Prophet. What are these qualities, Ya Rasulullah? He says that these qualities for those who want to be like me are the one with the best character from amongst you. That's one. The best akhlaq, yeah, in public and in private. You know, we as Muslims, we are honored to be Muslims, but there is great responsibility in being a Muslim. Yeah, we're going to be judged at a higher stage, a higher caliber by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we have embraced Islam. So we have to have the best akhlaq, yeah, the best characteristics. But you know, sometimes what we Muslims do, yeah, and I say Muslims, all people do this, but I say Muslims because that's the concern here. You know what we do? We have the best akhlaq outside, but the worst akhlaq inside the house. Yeah? You know why we have the best akhlaq at work? Because we get paid to get, we have good akhlaq at work. Yeah? Imagine, we're getting paid by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have good akhlaq at home as well. Yeah? So he says, the first characteristic that's required from my ummah, if you want to be like me, is to have the best of characteristics. The second is to be the most soft-hearted towards the people. To be lenient towards people. You know, today we live in a day and age where we are so quick to blame others for their mistakes as though we don't make mistakes. As though I am perfect and only you are the person who makes a mistake. He says, if you want to be like me, be lenient with people. Yeah. If he was not lenient, who would embrace Islam? People were sinners, idol worshippers at that time. Yeah? So he says, be lenient. The second, soft-hearted. The third is the most beneficent to his relatives. The most kindest to his relatives. The most giving towards his relatives. This is a third akhlaq if we want to be like the Prophet. The fourth, the most intense in his love for his brothers in faith. Yeah? It doesn't matter. Yeah? It doesn't matter if we're Sunni. Doesn't matter if we're Shia. The fact that we have the same God, the fact that we have the same Quran, the fact that we have the same Qibla, that we have the same 5 Salah, you are automatically my brother and sister in faith, and I am required to have the most intense love for you. Yeah? The most intense and the most care for you. This is the responsibility that we carry being the Ummah of the Prophet. The fifth is to be the most patient with regards to the truth. Yeah? Because people will constantly attack us. Yeah? People will constantly try to demean us by creating cartoons about the Prophet. Yeah? How does that lower the status of the Prophet? Yeah? It doesn't. Yeah? They are going to be accountable for this. We have to act in a manner where we are patient with that which is the truth. And the one who represses his anger the most forgiving and the most intense in holding up justice in pleasure and in anger. Yeah? We could spend countless amount of time just describing these 8 characteristics that the Prophet has mentioned. But the most important thing, my brothers and sisters, that I want to leave you with today is, yeah, it's high time we as Muslims step up our game. It's high time. Yeah? We are living in a very comfortable environment here in Canada. We are not oppressed like our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world. We have great potential to do great things. Yeah? But it's about time, rather than being fingers which are split, it's about time we unite as an ummah. And by doing so, there's a guarantee that there is nobody who will be able to harm us or attack us in this way. And I pray that we can follow in the footsteps of the Prophet. Wa akhiru da'wan an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallillahumma ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi al-tahirin.
As mentioned earlier, we're going to have questions from Sheikh Jaffer's speech. So the first question is, what is the key for the Muslim Ummah to be successful? I'll repeat that. What is the key for Muslim Ummah to be successful?
No one?
Okay, Sheikh Jaffer, do you want to answer the question? You get a gift card. Okay. Yes, so the answer was to follow the akhlaq of the Prophet, and that was answered by Sheikh Jaffer himself. Right. Thank you. Okay, next question. Somebody besides Sheikh Jaffer, please. List any one quality in order to be like the Prophet. Yeah? So a best character? Right, thank you.